Too much fellowshipping, didn't get my microphone on, but anyway, we had a great time with our seniors and just had a real good trip. The weather was fantastic. We tried to bring some of the heat. It's a little slow. We brought it back slowly, so by the middle of the week, you'll get to feel some of that. You can just thank the senior class that we had an influence. You're not smiling at all. I hear there was sleet here and a little bit of snow while we were gone. I felt really bad. We had 80-degree weather most of the time. If you would have seen our seniors, many of them burnt and peeled and really peeled. they burnt pretty bad. But, of course, that's the typical young person. You tell them, put on sunscreen and lotion, and they say, oh, I never burn. And then for the first time ever in their life, they burn. But anyway, that's kind of how it goes. But we did have a fantastic trip. And Mrs. Potter, of course, was the sponsor for the class and did an excellent job. And we've decided we're going to take her along on all of our senior trips from now on. In fact, every trip my wife and I go, we're just going to take Mrs. Potter along because she loves to cook and clean. Well, I don't know if she loves to or not, but she's good at it. And so anyway, we we were at the Oak Hill Baptist Church last Sunday, and we had the group sing, and the people love that. You just have to go down south to understand when I say this is a southern church that is a country church. And because you have to know the South, you have to understand what I'm talking about. They're just very laid back, and they loved our kids. I mean, they love that youth. They think I'm young. I know, that's what I'm saying. So they enjoyed that, and we had a good time with them, and they got to serve the Lord, and that's a blessing. To be able to go on a trip and serve the Lord and be a part of a service like that. And so, anyway, appreciate your prayers. It is great to be back. Had a fantastic day yesterday as far as the work day. And the pews, don't they look nice? Now, you may be in one that you might be a little damp, but I checked most of the pews, tried to, and they seem to be pretty well dried out, but if you are, you might want to move down or change it to another and let somebody else get wet, but no. But they should all be dry, but it smells good, looks good, and what a blessing. It was just a great day yesterday, good amount of folks helping out, and just a good spirit, fantastic spirit, and what a blessing. So anyway, it's been good, and I know Brother Petronico was a blessing to you. He's a great guy and a good preacher. And so praise the Lord. It's always good to be able to go away and know everything's going to be fine. And I like that. I really do appreciate that. Well, we're on lesson number 22. Lesson 22, that is available, as well as lesson 23. And so if you need either of those lessons, we probably will not finish lesson 22 today. So we will not start on lesson 23, but we do have both lessons available. If you need those, raise your hands. Ushers are there to get those out. Phyllis up here, Robin up here, so some folks up toward the front do need those. And again, we are talking about the assault upon mankind, and we are in a passage, Revelation 8, 7 through 9, 21. It is a pretty major passage dealing with the trumpet judgments, and of which we've covered most of that, but we're kind of winding down here and getting into the end of the trumpet judgments. Revelation 9:6 is our memory verse. It is should be a very thought-provoking and compassion-provoking verse for every one of us. The idea of in those days, people actually seeking to die, preferring death over life because of how terrible the times are. Now, again, we've all seen terrible times. All of us have. We've all experienced tough times. We've experienced financial setbacks. We've experienced physical problems. We've experienced the death of loved ones and the hurt of relationships, all of that. We've all experienced that. During the tribulation, that will be every day. That will be all the time. It is a hopelessness in the world. It is hard to even imagine. Let's go ahead and say our memory verse, Revelation 9:6. We'll say the reference, then the verse, then the reference, and begin. Revelation 9:6. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. And again, Revelation 9:6. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. Father, please bless our time. Please speak to our hearts and teach us from your word. So much of Revelation, we really have to study. We have to pay very close attention to. And yet, so much of it we won't know until it actually takes place and is even history as we arrive into heaven and we know all that you know. I pray that you'll use it, though, in our lives, that you'll challenge us, just like our verse that we've memorized, help us to realize that the tribulation is not a good thing. And we have loved ones, we have neighbors, we have friends, we have co-workers that are lost who will die and go to hell. And they will go through this time unless they die before that. And so please speak to our hearts. Give us exactly what we need, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we went through the trumpet judgments, we saw the puzzling precipitation, Revelation 8:7, the molten mountain, Revelation 8:8-9, the wormwood waters, Revelation 8:10-11, the heavenly hindrances, Revelation 8:12, the warning of woe in Revelation 8:13, and then we started talking about the demons and Roman numeral number 6, the terrible tormentors of Revelation 9:1-12. That was our last time together. And again, these terrible tormentors, again, not sent to kill, but to hurt, to torture, to torment people. And again, coming out of the bottomless pit, which is the word abyss, and like a shaft that goes all the way to the bowels of the earth. We have to understand that that is locked at this time because the Bible talks about a key being given to the demon, I believe, Satan perhaps, but a key being given that will release these demons from this abyss, the bowels of the earth, literally. And they will be like locusts. They will come out of the smoke. They will come out in a swarm. And again, they are terrible looking. They are obviously angry. They have been locked up for years and years and years. And they will inflict pain and torture on the people on this earth. And the terrible tormentors. But then we come to the sixth trumpet and Roman numeral number 7, the harmful horsemen. And that is Revelation 9:13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, again, I do want to point out there are those that would say that these things John sees are simply his way of describing military machinery, as we talked about the coming from the abyss, the bottomless pit, as it says in the scripture, possibly helicopters, jetpacks, all of that. I wouldn't get in an argument with anybody over that. The horsemen, some would say, oh, this is just talking about some sort of a tank, some sort of motorized vehicle type thing and all of that. Again, I'm not going to argue with people over that, but I personally believe these are demons. These are demonic beings. again, I'm not going to, to argue something. The Bible does not say. And where the Bible doesn't say, we've learned in Revelation, we must speculate. And so, again, I could see John trying to describe a stealth bomber. And, what's he going to say? I understand all that. I could see him trying to describe a tank. They didn't have tanks back in those days. So I have no problem with those types of speculation. Some people will also associate all these things with different periods of time. And again, I'm not. I personally believe these are literal demonic beings that are let loose upon the earth. And it goes on and says in verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And so the harmful horsemen. Now, I want to just to give somewhat of a prelude here. Let's go back to Daniel 9:27. Keep your place, obviously, in Revelation, but let's just look back as we have several times to Daniel 9 and verse 37. I'm sorry, 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. Now, talking about the Antichrist, if you remember our study back at the beginning of the tribulation, somewhere along the line there, the Antichrist will be in leadership of some type. He will develop talks of peace. Again, this is all while all these things are going on. He will establish talks of peace, especially with the Jews. He will literally rope them in, if you will, into his deception. Talked about that earlier. And again, he'll make a covenant for 1 week, but in the midst of the week, he breaks the covenant. So after 3.5 years of tribulation, the covenant is broken. And the Bible says he causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease and sets up what we refer to as the abomination of desolation as he desecrates the altar. And so I read that because there is a little bit of a tie-in here. In fact, Matthew 24 and verse 15, Matthew 24:15 also makes reference to that. And Matthew 24 and verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So again, we have this understanding of this abomination of desolation, causing the sacrifice to cease, all of these things. He's breaking his word. He breaks the covenant. And so the altar on the earth will be desecrated. Sacrifices and offerings will be made to cease. He breaks his word. That should not shock us with anything that is anti-Christ. Deceit would be a huge part of his motivation. I mean, that is not surprising. So the timing would be, again, it talks about 3.5 years or at the middle of the covenant, the middle of the week, which was the week was 7 days, or as we would understand, 7-year period of tribulation. In the middle of that, so around 3.5 years, we've kind of established that this judgment, this trumpet, is probably toward the middle or just after the middle of time. But I say all that because I want to emphasize verse 13, it says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." And I wanted to point out that golden altar. Again, everything has a purpose. Everything has a reason. Why is there a voice coming from this golden altar? And so I wanted to just speak of that for a few minutes, because I think it's significant as to what is going on here. Now, understand that this golden altar the Bible's talking about is the altar of incense, all right? The altar of incense, which when we studied the tabernacle, wow, many, many years ago, we talked about that golden altar of incense. And now the golden altar of incense, it was upon this that every evening and every morning the priest would burn incense. And again, it is a picture of our prayer life and our walk with God. And then look at Exodus 30, verse 10. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 10. It also had another significance. Exodus 30 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." Now, when the sacrifices stop, when the Antichrist takes over, and the sacrifices stop and all of that takes place, you have to understand it is then desecrated. None of this can happen. And so this altar, as you look at the golden altar here, don't just pass by that. Don't just, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. I believe this is after this abomination of desolation has taken place. The sacrifices are made to cease. And so the altar of incense, now, again, once a year atonement was made at that altar of incense. Once a year the blood was put on the four horns of that altar of incense, and what had been touched by the blood and literally cried mercy, now this altar in heaven is crying out for judgment. Okay, so as we again picture what is going on the earth, the altar in heaven, this golden altar that the Bible talks about, literally, what's this voice? Well, the voice is crying for judgment. A voice that had cried mercy for years and years and years now cries for judgment. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 28. Hebrews 10 and verse 28, and all of this is significant, and I'll show you here in a minute as we deal with what is going on here. Hebrews 10 and verse 28, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace." And so again, as the blasphemy of God's system is running rampant, the altar in heaven cries out for judgment. The altar in heaven is crying out for the judgment. Antichrist's false religion is set up. And I say all this because of this very thing. Antichrist, false religion, doesn't work. God continues to call out for judgment, because an Antichrist has no way to stay the judgment. In fact, everything he does is bringing on the judgment. And this is the thing we need to understand in our world today. There are numerous antichrist religions out there. I mean, they are growing, they are spreading, and they are becoming some of the larger belief systems in the world. And they are antichrist. It is how in America the name of Jesus Christ it's almost like it's the only religion that is shut down. I mean, you could talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about all kinds of, but don't talk about Jesus. Don't name the name of Jesus. Now again, that is going to be represented in the middle of the tribulation in a very major way, and it, you know, obviously it'll be very, very rampant at that time, but it's that way now. It's that way today. You know, I remember when, yeah, I mean, we read in the paper, well, you don't hear a lot about it, but, you know, so-and-so was asked to pray at this government function, but when we told him he couldn't, why would you tell him he can't do anything if he's going to pray? What do you mean? Well, you know, we don't want to upset people, so don't name Jesus. You know, that's why our public schools don't, when they have Christmas celebration, it's not about Jesus' birth. They can't. What's it about? It's about the happy holidays. You know, they can't talk about the birth of Jesus. Why? Because that's against the law. You're not allowed to talk about Jesus. Why would anybody get upset about posting the Ten Commandments in a government building? Oh, well, that's, you know, what about separation? And, you know, I'm just saying that this kind of attitude, this kind of idea is why the everything to do with heaven is calling out for judgment, crying for judgment, the judgment of God. And the Antichrist false religion, there's nothing to stop it. And false religion in our world, it isn't going to stop it. False religion in your life, it isn't going to stop the judgment of God. You know, well, I'm sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong, and the judgment of God is going to take place. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of sincere people in hell today. They were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. And Antichrist false religion, you know, the very, and this is so obvious to me, the very demons that were worshipped are the demons who are attacking, who came out of the bottomless pit, who are attacking here, the very demons that were praised. You're not gonna get the devil on your side for your good ever. Now it may look good. Boy, you know, I made a deal with the devil and he said I'd be rich. It's not gonna end good. It never, never does. And so the sixth trumpet is about to sound. And so I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which used to cry mercy, and now it cries for judgment. Verse 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Key words here, loose. That means they obviously are somehow, they were bound, it says. So these are, I believe, demons who were bound. They were held back, bound in this position, and they were held back for this very event. Loose them. Again, we will have a sense of demons who are, man, they're ready to do their job. They are mad. And so it is a call for judgment. Don't just skip over the great river Euphrates, because it's important. It's important in the Bible. And so Euphrates River, here it is, and the call for judgment. And out of the great river Euphrates come these demons. And the river Euphrates, of course, was in the Garden of Eden, where sin began, Genesis 3. It was also where false religion began, as we study Cain's kind of worship. God said there had to be a blood sacrifice, proved it. I mean, it was very clear with Adam and Eve's sin. Cain decided to provide his own sacrifice. I remind you, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Cain, near the Euphrates River, false worship started there. Nimrod built the Tower of Babel there. Again, Genesis 4, verse 3, talking about Cain, Nimrod, Genesis 10, verses 9 and 10. The Tower of Babel, what was that all about? That's all about building a tower to reach heaven. Nimrod, what are you going to do when you reach heaven, Nimrod? Boy, there's all kinds of good stuff. If you want to study history, you could study Nimrod and his mother and how the portrayal of a virgin birth and just the whole mystery religion kind of thing. I don't want to get into all that right now. But the Tower of Babel, another big kind of a worship of false religion. And then, of course, ancient Babylon, which we'll study in Revelation. Ancient Babylon, the Euphrates River either ran through it or beside it. It was a part of it. And again, all of these things centered around the Euphrates River. Sin began. False religion began. Cain with his false worship. The Tower of Babel was built. Ancient Babylon, where springs so many false religions, including, I believe, Roman Catholicism. And so it started, all of that started there, but it looks like, and by the way, Revelation 17 and 18, it's all going to end there. And so, understand this. If you were to get out, you could probably even get on Wikipedia. You would find that so many demonic religions are east of the Euphrates River. I'm talking about demon worship is unbelievable. You know, when somebody talks, they talk about worshiping the sun god, or they talk about worshiping the moon god, or they talk about worshiping all these different gods, and they have these little idols and little statues and all that kind of, you have to understand something. That's a demonic god, small g god, that they're worshiping. We're not dealing here with people who are just worshiping a rock or a chunk of wood or whatever. I mean, somewhere, somehow, there is a demonic presence involved in that, that they, in fact, are worshiping. There is also some power involved in that as well. And so, again, you have to understand that these demon religions, demonic religions, Hindu, Buddhist, all these different things. You go east of the Euphrates, you'll find ties into so many of these different kinds of demonic type religions. And now this demonic army under these four angelic or demonic beings are loosed, released, unbound to slay one third of all men. Now, whereas the locust type demons, they were there to hurt, torture, and maim. People couldn't die. Well, these are going to kill one third of men. Now, let's do a little calculation here. All right. So they're going to kill one third. Let's do a little calculation. Let's see. First four seal judgments, the Bible said one-fourth of the population was killed. So, again, rapture, the rapture takes place. Obviously, all the Christians are gone. And I'm sure people die in the onslaught and all of that. But definitely we know one-fourth, after four seal judgments, one-fourth of the population is gone. That leaves three-fourths. And then one-third of that is going to be slain. Nobody dies during the locust attack, locust-type demon attack. So now one-third of that is going to be slain. So we could calculate that after this trumpet judgment, over half of the world population has been slain. Over half. That is just hard to fathom through these judgments. So the first four, one-fourth are killed, three-fourths are left, and of that, one-third are slain here. And so since the rapture, over half of the population of the world will be dead. Now again, you and I, we can't even fathom. That's a 3.5-year period. I don't know what the population will be when that happens because I don't know when it's going to happen. But it is an unbelievable number of people are going to die during that time. And so this judgment is a huge, huge thing. Again, we talk about east of the Euphrates. Look real quick at Revelation 16 and verse 12, which we'll get there in the next few years. Revelation 16, 12, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. See that? And again, we know about that. We've heard about that. Human armies preparing for the Battle of Armageddon. Again, where are they coming from? East of the Euphrates. Those are the humans that had worshipped the demons. You suppose they're going to be mad? So many of them were killed because of the demons. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a bad, bad deal. And the Bible says these four angels which were prepared, they were prepared for that very time to slay that many people. And so by the end of this, one half of the population, in just over 3.5 years, one half of the population will be gone. That is hard for us to imagine. And ushers, if you'll come, we'll go ahead and get our offering. Verse 16 says 200 million, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. Again, our minds can't even fathom that. 200 million is this army of demons. This time, they're hurting and killing. Because, again, one-third is going to be killed. These are, I call them hellish horses. Verse 17, I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Again, these are demonic. I mean, obvious hellish horses. Breastplates of fire. Fire certainly could be real fire. It could be the color orange, or it could be description of something very, very shiny. Jacinth is the color blue, and so there is a blue hint in all this color. Brimstone is the color yellow, and so that description would be very true with fiery-looking being. The head is like a lion. The mouth spews forth fire, smoke, and brimstone, and it is by those three things, verse 18, was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Again, the speculation that these are some sort of a tank, some sort of a weapon, I'm not going to fight with anybody over that. I still think these are demonic beings. Their power, the Bible says in verse 19, is in their mouth, obviously, as it's shooting forth the fire, the brimstone, and the smoke. Their power is in their mouth and in their tails. I thought that was interesting, in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents. So in our minds, we could see this tail type thing, but then it said, and had heads. And that's just a nasty-looking thing, don't you think? I mean, to me, that's just a nasty-looking thing. They had heads, and with them, they do hurt. And so these tails somehow as the locusts were hurting, these tails were hurting, and the mouth was killing. And it's a slaughter, absolute slaughter on the face of the earth. And again, I believe demonic activity being unloosed, being unbound, being released upon mankind. I mean, can you imagine? Here's somebody that has worshipped one of these things. You know, folks, you got to understand that if you talk to people that are in some of these false religions, they see these things. Now, try to, again, imagine this same thing you've just worshipped coming and hurting you or killing your loved ones or killing you. And we have been deceived. Those words will be said over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm so glad we have a God that always tells us truth. His promises, he never breaks. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change his mind. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. I've never had to offer my firstborn to him. I don't have to give him my blood. I don't have to give him my children. I don't have to sacrifice to him. I don't have to crawl up steps on my knees till they bleed. I don't have to do any of those things for my God. My God himself came and took my punishment on himself for me. Amen. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to turn on me. The angels that have protected us, and we put them in some precarious positions, I'm sure. Those angels aren't going to turn on us. Ever. No. What a blessing to serve a God who is faithful and true all the way to the end. This slaughter, this judgment, it is, listen, please understand, it is what every unsaved person ultimately realizes. I've been deceived. I have been deceived. Every unsaved person ever that has ever lived, ever will live, they will find they have been deceived. The woman that does the crystal ball, she has been deceived. The person who reads palms, I hit the nail on the head a couple times. Yeah, I know you did. I'm sure you did. I had a demon-possessed person tell me one time something that nobody else knew. I'm telling you, it almost got my attention. Be careful, folks, because they do know some things that nobody else knows. Because they're everywhere. They're invisible. I'm just saying, you know what? Every person who has ever followed a false religion, ultimately, they will say, I was deceived. And those demons, those, however you want to put it, they'll turn on them like that. And it's... Again, you know, when I read these two judgments especially, I think the first thing I thought of as I read that, I envision my days with a Ouija board. I remember it. I remember my first seance. I remember levitating somebody with their fingers and they lifted. I remember all those things. And I think about the demonic presence that is being worshipped today. And those same demons, they are going to come and they are going to wreak havoc on this earth. And they're going to kill their worshipers. Aren't you glad that our God, he's not like that? Aren't you glad he loves us and he watches over us? And you know what? If we do die, or when we do die, he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And I've been with a lot of people when they die, And every time someone was a born-again Christian, it was a very, very peaceful death, because that's our God. I think it'll just be like stepping on shore. Isn't that how the song goes? I'd sing it, but I don't know if I could hit the high note. That's what it, you know. Close your eyes and open them, and there's Jesus. And you have a perfect body. It's good. And tell your face to smile. It's okay. Think about it. Good stuff.